everyone, welcome back to But Why Though, and today we spoke with Elias Defexis, the voice of Seraphim in Blood of Zeus Seasons 1 and Season 2, which is out now on Netflix. We get into talking about redemption arcs, the importance of Greek mythology, and what it's like to join the legacy of it all. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, my name is Elias Defexis, and I play Seraphim in Blood of Zeus on Netflix.
Hi, Elias. You play one of my favorite characters, so
I think everybody's favorite character. Let's just be honest.
I'm just gonna get right into it. I would say that season two is definitely his season in a way where he gets to double down on who he is, but you also get to see him grow a bit. And so, like, my first question is, as an actor, How do you build the bridge between you and the character that you're portraying? Do you have any ways that you do that? Do you identify with parts of the character yourself?
Well, I think you have to identify with the character you're playing. Even if you're playing, I play a lot of bad guys. A lot of bad guys on TV and a lot of bad guys in animation. And if you don't connect with them, you're not going to connect with the audience. You have to connect with your character and you have to justify what they're doing. In Seraphim's case, it's a little easier because he goes through so much stuff. So you kind of understand why he's doing what he's doing. You don't agree with, outright murder and torture that Seraphim's doing, but you have to justify it as an actor. Otherwise there's no real point in playing it. Mm-hmm. And you can't just play he's evil because that's boring. So, yeah, you find a way to connect. And in the first season, it's connecting with what he wanted to do, but also what he's been through that made him want to do mm-hmm. what he wanted to do. And the second season, he goes from kind of the antagonist of the show to kind of the co-lead of the show.
Yes.
With his brother. And so it changes a little bit of the way that you approach it as an actor. In the sense that I wanted to get a little more empathy out of the audience mm-hmm. this time around. But that also is in the writing. Mm-hmm. The way the character is presented and the choices he makes and the what he's put through, you start empathizing with him a little. Again, it's hard to forgive him for all the murder and stuff, but you can relate and empathize without forgiving him. And he says at one point in this second season, he says, "I'm not the man I was." He says it at that point. So, being able to play that, it did help. Like I said, I have to connect to the character no matter what. But playing somebody who's on a redemption arc is a lot easier than just justifying murder.
Yeah. And I think that there's a really beautiful complexity to Seraphim as a character and also just how you play him across the two seasons. Because in season one, for all of the characters is very focused on anger. Because I was going to say, like, almost like this righteous anger that each character feels to correct the wrongs done to them in their own ways, regardless of how they go about it, is correct, whether it's Hera or Seraphim or even Heron to a point as well. And season two, when I watched it, I actually felt like this season is more grounded in love. It's grounded in identifying the pieces of yourself, what you've lost, what you've loved, and how you've moved on from that. And for Seraphim, I thought that the way that the story was handled was really beautiful in a way, because he has a relationship to the past that seems different than what we would expect from most villains. He can't let go of it in that it is always inside of him, but he also understands he cannot change it in a way. And I wanted to ask how you approach kind of building those emotional layers of a character when you're providing the voice, and how you do actually, and how you feel with how he's grown from season one to season two, or even just the portrayal of him.
Yeah. When they told me that we got picked up for a second season, I had ideas of where I wanted to see Seraphim go. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting I don't remember if I got all the scripts or if I got a breakdown. I don't remember what, but once the story was clear to me, I remember thinking, well, this is exactly what I wanted, exactly what I would want Seraphim to go through, like the kind of redemption arc, but while still maintaining, like, I like the idea of redemption arc. It seemed pretty, it seems a pretty good idea to go that direction with him. But I didn't want to lose him, Seraphim, and what he believes in while doing that redemption arc. And he's still in it for himself, so to speak. But he's all, but at that same time, he does say, like, one of my favorite things about this season, without giving too many spoilers away, is when he says things like, I just want these people I've harmed to be okay in the afterlife. And I want them to forget about me and forget about what I did to them. And that's what I'm going after. So it's a redemption, but not really a re it's a redemption of his soul, no doubt. But he's not trying to buy his freedom and buy his afterlife, and buy he's trying to fix his wrongs. I mean, again, he's done a lot of wrong to a lot of people, so maybe he has a lot of fixing to do. But those two women in particular, the Gorgo and his mom, those are two people that he did not want to hurt. And he hurt them bad. And so his sacrifice, while it does cleanse his soul, it is a redemption for his soul. It really is about giving away himself for their freedom in the past, in a post life. And yeah, that's what makes him so interesting to play this season. It's yeah, I love that scene where, again, without giving too much away, where he's talking about, look, I don't care what happens, but you're going to give me what I want, and what I want is them to be okay. Not, I want my freedom, I want my revenge. All that stuff is gone for him. It's, I want them to be okay. And
And
that's a great
then
thing to play. Yeah.
And I think it's a really beautiful way to tackle the idea of redemption, because I think right now in media we're kind of at this weird crossroads where everybody wants to be very sympathetic for a villain. They want a
Sure.
villain to be completely redeemed versus maybe being empathetic towards circumstances. And the complexity of justice in Greek myth really lends to allowing someone to maintain their rough edges, but
Yeah.
also understand that because he did bad in the names of the person that he loved, that he has also helped doom her to a life, to an afterlife of suffering. And I was going to ask, like, because it happens early on in the trailer, we see Seraphine on trial in the underworld. There is something that struck me and is actually one of my favorite parts of the season end of Seraphine, is where he refuses to repent and he refuses to bow to another god and he refuses to accept that absolution that you're kind of talking about, like to make it easier on him. That's what I think defines the character, but I would love to know what you think, really, kind of if there are any moments that you think define him as a character and in any of the emotions that are tied to him.
Sure. For me, yes. At the beginning of the second season, the first few episodes, he is just like, just get off my back. You gods do nothing. You gods do nothing for me. And he's so adamant about it that he'll endure torture, literal torture. And he'd rather endure the torture than kneel again, right? But when the opportunity is presented him to, change his, not really so much change his past, you're right, he knows he can't change it, but to maybe fix what he's done with these women, particularly with Gorgo. He does kind of what he did with Hera, which is, all right, I'll use these gods if they're using me, I'll use Hades if he's using me. But in this season, his motivation is much more just than just revenge, right? Than simply revenge. It's more of a, yeah, it's more of a legitimate moral reasoning for doing what he's doing. And yeah, he becomes a different man, but still, he's still gonna go after what he wants at the expense of whomever, even his brother. And he even says that at one point. It's like, I'll kill you. I'll still kill you. Like, I hope everything's fine. I hope you don't get in my way, but if you do, I'm still gonna kill you. Like, to don't mess with me. Let me get my, instead of revenge this season, it's let me get what I want.
And how have you felt with, like, because I mean, fans, I know it's a while, it's been a little over 3 years since the first season, but when Seraphine first came out, like, people were love with. I was one of those. It's me. I am people. I was in love with
Yeah,
Seraphim.
Seraphim's pretty great.
How has it been kind of like seeing the reception for that people have had for Seraphim as a character? And what do you hope people take away from him after season two? Like as a part of the journey that he's on leading into.
Yeah, well, it tends to set answer the second part of your question first. It's the if people empathize with him, or maybe not empathize, but sympathize at least with him. I don't know how many people have relatives and ex-girlfriends in the underworld, but if they can sympathize with him and see, like, okay, I see why he's doing what he's doing, and he is trying to change, and then I've done my job, and that's what people can take away from that season, from the second season. But in terms of playing him and his reaction, I remember still, like, when they just released pictures before anybody knew I was attached, and people were like, "Oh my God, Seraphim's so cool," and or sexy or hot or daddy and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, great. If that's if you want to go for that, go for it." And then all the funniest thing for me is, like, it's not funny. It's flat. It is funny, but it's flattering. You know, like, all of the fan art of Seraphim, it all inevitably ends up in, like, triple X versions of it. You're like, all right, cool, man, whatever you want. Yeah, I have no problem with it. And but the reaction overall, I think, is going to be even better in this second season because of where he goes. Because he's not just he's not he does so many bad things in the first season, and his feelings are justified, most definitely. But he does so many bad things that you kind of go, well, he's the bad guy. No matter what, he's the bad guy. But in this season, he's not even really the antagonist. He's really, like, one of the protagonists of the season. And most definitely Heron is the protagonist, but he is, like, a co-protagonist to a degree. And so hopefully they're cheering for him.
I know. I mean, he's on a very similar journey to Heron this season, actually. When you compare the two, they're both dealing with guilt. They're both dealing with the past in the only ways that they know how. And they're both kind of dealing with moving forward. I think you're
And
completely on the
Heron is
money there.
going, it's a very interesting, because they structured it incredibly well, because Heron is going darker and Seraphim is going lighter, and they're meeting kind of in the middle. You know, it's somewhere in the middle, in the gray area, is where people actually are. And so it's great to see, like, this really evil character, again, maybe justifiable evil, but really evil character kind of come a little closer to the light, and it's really light character kind of come a little closer to the dark. And yeah, I love, by the way, I know we talk about Seraphim because I play Seraphim, but I love Heron's arc in this, and
Yes,
I
it's
and Derek,
beautiful.
like, Derek and I have this fake antagonistic relationship, because we bring our characters to real life. But in actuality, I'm sitting there watching him going, like, this guy's amazing. He's killing everything. Like, literally, his voice work is so good. And like, yeah, so, and everybody's phenomenal. But Derek in particular, for me, like, really stood out as just, like, man, he's dancing this dance of a character that's really difficult to pull off, and he does it so well.
How does it feel to be? I mean, because we look at like the history of like Greek myth is thousands of years old, and it has been reiterated, I'm not reiterated, but reimagined multiple times and seen throughout. And I think that every iteration of a myth is something special and a new part of the legacy. How does it feel for you to be a part of this section of legacy for Greek
Is that
mythology,
what it is? It's kind of like
introducing
a
people
new,
to?
yeah, it is introducing people, most definitely. That's true. I was in Greece in December for the first time, and I am half Greek, the good half. And I, so seeing the history there after doing Blood of Zeus, and I had already recorded most of season two at that point, and no, all of it. Yeah, we had done all of it at that point. And it was really trippy, because all these, you know, all these gods are etched, like, the characters that are in Blood of Zeus are etched in actual stone from 2,500 years ago, you know. And so you're right, these things have been around forever. So if in any way, our show reintroduce or introduces people to Greek mythology and has them go look up what people actually thought about these gods 2,000 years ago, Then that's, that's amazing. That's incredible. We're very happy with that. And one thing that is cool is these are original characters, Seraphim
Yeah.
and Heron. So it's fun to be kind of plucked into this historical, not historical,
Yeah.
mythological history, so to speak. And these characters that have never been heard of before, but they were part of the whole thing. I love that in movies, right? Where it's something
Yeah.
like one thing I love about this season is that first episode. It's not really spoilery, but that first episode, which is just another view of what was happening during the battle,
Yes,
like that kind of
it's
stuff, I
so
love.
good.
So I love that
Yeah.
kind of, if you take Seraphim and Heron, they're kind of put into this. You've heard all the mythological stories about the Greek gods, but actually there were these two guys in there too, and that kind
Yeah.
of stuff is really cool. So yeah, I hope people look up Greek gods and go watch Clash of the Titans and or go read Homer to a degree, or go read like just read like read up on the old Greek gods. My kids did it. My kids should not have been watching Blood of Zeus, but I did show it to them, and I'm like, it's all fake, it's all pretend. Daddy's not really chopping people in half, but they all were really interested. They became really interested in, the Greek, because they're the Avengers of 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think that Blood of Zeus is able to do a lot of things because of the medium, right? Of animation and then adult animation as well. And as an actor as a whole, because and then also as a voice actor, what do you think it is about animation that does make it really special as a medium for storytelling?
Well, it's freedom, right?
Yeah.
It's freedom in within a budget. Like if you wanted to do Blood of Zeus as a live action, you're talking hundreds of millions
Yeah.
of dollars. Countless hours and sets, and there's countless hours of work that goes into Blood of Zeus anyway, but it's not like as difficult as it would be to put on a
Yeah.
a big movie. So it also grants you a freedom. I guarantee you, like the Clash of the Titans ones that came out, I don't know if like 10 years ago or whatever they were, they were limited in what they can do.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I would love to do this, but man, that would jump our budget by $50 million. Or with animation, you're like, all right,
Yeah.
our budget's this. We can do anything, pretty much anything. Anything you can imagine, we can do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had budgetary constraints and stuff, but like for the most part, you imagine it, you can do it.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about animation. And adult animation right now is just so good with everything that's out
Oh,
there.
yeah.
It's just constantly impressing me. Yeah, I know people, a lot of people watched that first season, and I know a lot of people loved it, and I hope a lot of people watch this second season, if not only for Blood of Zeus. Of course, we want everybody to watch it because then we'll get more seasons and more
Yeah.
spin-offs or whatever. But I also like, just as a outside point of view fan, I would like more people to watch adult animation.
Yeah.
If it's it seems really, really like getting to a head of real popularity now. So
Yeah.
I hope people tune in.
Yeah, no, I do too, and I think that like obviously I have a whole bunch of anime figures behind
Yeah, I
me,
do
and
too.
I have a Belmont boy on the shelf as well behind the mic.
Powerhouse animation.
Animation is like you said, there is a freedom to it, and it allows you to take a depth of storytelling that is significantly harder in live action just with
For sure, yeah.
money wise. As an actor, is there anything that you've ever thought about that you wanted people to understand or appreciate about voiceover work and voice acting that you don't think maybe they do?
Not that I don't think maybe they do. I mean, that it's a lot more good voice acting, which Blood of Zeus is full of,
Yes.
is a lot more layered than people think. If you, what I would say is watch the show and then go back and listen to the show. Like close your eyes and listen to your favorite
Yeah.
monologue from the show or whatever, and hear all the different levels that the actors are bringing to these characters. It's not just saying the words and pretending you're on camera and stuff like that. There's a lot of tricks of the trade, so to speak, that the good actor, and Blood of Zeus is just full of them.
Yeah.
Like Fred Tatasciore is a legend in this business,
Yeah.
and he just kills Hades. Like, Jennifer Hale's in another legend, Sissy Jones, a
Yeah.
legend. Like all these people are phenomenal, and there's a reason they're the best voice actors in the world, because you, or in America at least, because you can hear them You can hear the layers of their performances coming through. So I would say that the only thing that people may not know is how layered these performances actually are. And it is more like I was at the end of every Seraphim day, I was exhausted. I was sweating, and not because I'm screaming, but because it's emotional. And like there are some screaming stuff, but mostly it's like, man, I got to really think about what this feels like about talking to Orgo's grave, you know? Like that's exhausting, and it's really got to get into that emotional space, and it's sad, and all that stuff hopefully is coming through. And it's all because we really like it. Like I remember, oh, whatever. There was an actor who once said, like, oh, voice acting is the easiest thing in the world. I do this and then they give me $1 million. You know, like they go, but it's not. Good voice acting is a lot more difficult and a lot more complex than people think it is. And that's because of the technical thing, like talking to the mic in a specific way, but it's also getting emotion across and getting points across and just using one tool. Like I love on camera acting. But on camera acting, as it's so, I don't even have to be talking and I could give you a million emotions, right? But with voiceover, it's all about just one thing. And then, of course, the direction and animation and music and all that kind of stuff helps. But really, you only got one tool to use. So it's trickier than people think. Because I do get, sorry, just to finish off on that
No,
thought,
go ahead.
I do get a lot of people going, hey, I want to be a voice actor and I could do all these great voices. You start going, it's kind of more complex than just doing great voices. Even in silly cartoons, it's a little more difficult than just doing crazy voices. That's the only thing I think people might not know.
Well, it's fantastic to hear you talk about it. And I think it also puts into perspective so much the why Blood of Zeus is such a good show. Ultimately, it is because there's this very human quality to all of the gods, and in your case, half demon, giant eating
I'm the only
human.
non-god person.
But there's a lot of humanity in really robust emotional work being done for these characters. And I wanted to ask, outside, because I know we've talked a lot about Seraphim, outside of Seraphim, do you have like maybe another favorite character? I know we talked a little about Heron as well, but maybe a favorite scene or a favorite
Oh,
piece
in
of the
Blood of Zeus
show.
in general.
Yeah, and Blood of Zeus in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to choose because everyone's so good. And every time somebody's on in a scene, I'm like, man, they're great. And you're like, God, I kind of love what they're doing. I mean, everyone's gonna love Hades this year. Everyone was concerned. The thing I got the most comments on is, excuse me, don't make Hades evil. Don't make Hades evil. Don't make. And I was like, they're not. They're doing the right thing with him. And of course, Fred just kills it. And people are gonna love Hades. I loved Hades, Persephone, all that stuff. Everyone's so good. I mean, there's stuff that I love that I'm not in. Like I'm trying to remember the scene again without spoilers. But Heron goes in a cave and he's fighting the
The
Furies,
Curies,
the
yes.
Curies, yeah. And then they just the way they shoot it and the with it goes pitch black. And then his lightning, oh, it's so good. Like visually, that's what I could say. Visually, I have nothing to do with anything like that. Visually, it's even better than last season and it's bigger. And there are shots, or when, again, without giving away spoilers, when Seraphim's fighting, I guess you could say a dragon. And then he's doing, like, there's just that shot where he's sliding. And then there's that beautiful shot where they're kind of jumping at each other. And it's just beautiful. So, yeah, visually, I would say that's my favorite thing outside of the, if you step away from the performances, visually it's amazing. And the music, of course, Paul, every season just kills it every
That
season.
the music is a whole other level than
Yeah, it's a
like
whole other
anything
thing.
I've seen. Like that is cool. But yeah, I guess as a final question, just really, what do you hope fans take away from Blood of Zeus season two? Like when they wrap that final episode, what do you want them to be feeling, thinking?
I know what they're going to be feeling. I mean, I hope enough people watch so we can get the third season because people are going to be feeling, okay, we need a third season. That's what they're going to. I mean, selfishly, I just think of Seraphim, and I hope that people get really interested in what they're trying to do with him. And by the end of the season, they go, okay, there's a lot more to come with this guy.
Yeah.
And he's again, without giving anything away, his redemption arc is there, but it's not complete by the end of the show.
Yeah.
It may never be actually fully complete,
Yeah.
but he has ways to go, I think, even though he does take giant steps in
Yeah.
this. No pun intended. No giant pun intended. Yeah, look, I just hope people like it. I'm pretty sure people will like it. Just as a fan, you can step
Yeah.
away from it and go, oh yeah, this is really good. Like it is really good. And I really hope that it's hard to say. I don't have anything other than I really hope people watch. I really hope people watch so we can get more story. Because we
Yeah.
have so much more that we want to tell.
Yeah.
And I know where they're going with season 3. And I'm like, oh God, we got to get that. So much happening. Yeah, so we'll see.